You're listening to episode 33, sponsored by PlateJoy. Welcome to Cultivating the Lovely, the podcast. This is the podcast all about pouring the labor, care, and study into the roles that God has given us as wives, moms, women, and His children. It is meant to inspire us to be living with passion, intention, beauty, and delight in the everyday moments right where we're at. I'm your hostess, Mackenzie Monroe from BoldTurquoise.com and CultivatingTheLovely.com, and I am so excited to be back with you today, especially after our last episode with Katie Duckett. I had such an amazing response from so many of you after that last episode, and it was so fun to really get to hear from you guys, connect with you on social media, receive messages from you. I know I got a lot of messages in the Facebook group for Cultivating the Lovely. It was so fun, and I really wanted to reach out and let you guys know I love that. I love when you reach back and let us know what is really resonating with you. It really helps to shape the podcast and let me know what we should be focusing on as we move into season 3 next year. But before we get into season 3 in the fall, we do have a big thing happening this summer with Bold Turquoise and Cultivating the Lovely, and that is the Lovely Homeschool Course. So if you're a homeschooler and you feel like you just want to make sure that you get next year planned and prepped to the best of your ability to allow for the most freedom and grace and loveliness in your homeschool as possible, then I really suggest that you hop over to boldturquoise.com/TLHC. And that is where you can sign up for our email newsletter, so you will be the first one to find out when that course goes live. I am making more and more progress on it every single day, and I really hope to have it out to you guys soon. So if you want to know when that sale week happens, then make sure that you go get signed up on that email list. All right, ladies, today I have Catherine McNeil with me, and we are talking all about spiritual disciplines in motherhood, specifically in young motherhood, but I really feel like this book can be applied to all the different years of motherhood and how transforming motherhood is to just us as women and as people. I really enjoyed my conversation with her, and I really enjoyed reading her book, Long Days of Small Things. So, without further ado, let's jump in with Catherine. Welcome, Catherine.
Thank you so much, Mackenzie. I'm happy to be here.
I'm so glad to have you on the show tonight. I've been reading your book, and I just find it so interesting, and I can't wait to really dive into it and let the listeners know about it. But first of all, would you like to just introduce yourself and tell us a little bit about who you are and your family and kind of what you do?
Sure, I'd love to. Well, like I said, my name is Catherine McNeil, and I live outside of Chicago in the suburbs, and I've got 3 kids. They are currently 10, 8, and 5, and my husband and I love to garden, so we're happy that spring, at least yes. When we're recording this, where I live, spring is coming, and yeah, I love to see all the new life that comes this time of year.
Yes. So you have written this book, Long Days of Small Things, Motherhood as a Spiritual Discipline. And I found it so intriguing. I was telling you a little bit earlier, but last year I did a lot of reading from moms who had looked into the monastic movement and like all these things about kind of what spirituality looks like in motherhood. And so when this book came up, it felt like, oh, this is kind of tagging on to the stuff that I was reading last year and just being able to play off of that. And I loved what you had to say. I mean, I've been in the little years now for 11 years.
Wow.
So it's these kinds of reminders about the value of motherhood that even after this many years, it's just so nice to have that refresher. So can you share a little bit about how this book came to be and where this came from in you and how you realized these things?
I'd love to. Well, I have studied Bible theology and spiritual formation at college, at university. And so these things are really, really important to me. And I love the classic spiritual disciplines like Richard Foster's book and others, things that you might find in the monastic traditions, for example. And I know you recently did a podcast about the Myers-Briggs, and I'm a big fan of that too.
Yes.
I just love things quiet and I like them contemplative. And, you know, my happy place is, a dimly lit room with candles and some quiet music.
Yeah.
But then I became a mom.
Yeah.
And that is not an option for me at any time of the day or night. You know, even if I were to get up at 3 o'clock in the morning and try to light some candles and have a quiet prayer time, probably someone is crying and needs me to go and tuck them in or bring them some water or listen to a bad dream or something. And I was actually at a conference when I was pregnant with my third and I had two little boys, and the man who was speaking was describing these spiritual practices that I love and talking about how much we really need to prioritize continuing to practice these no matter what's going on in our life, and saying that if we're really committed to God, that we are definitely going to find at least 30 to 60 minutes a day to be in total silence and solitude with God. And that hit me like a ton of bricks because I would have probably said or written the same thing in a different season of life. Mm-hmm. But as a mom of two little boys and a baby girl in my tummy, I was literally never alone. You know, there was at the least the baby attached to my body at all times. And even if I tried to go to the bathroom, there was little fingers sticking underneath the door, you know, and, so that just really hit me, and it really seemed to confirm what my experience would indicate to me, that seeking God in this time of my life was just not possible. Mm-hmm. But yet, juxtaposed on that message that I seemed to kind of keep hearing was the most amazing season of life that was just... I was buried in miracles, you know, like I was watching new life be created before my very eyes, day in and day out. I was, you know, loving with a love I had never had before. I was experiencing this ability to both discipline and yet love unconditionally, and learning so much about God and who He is as a parent, who I am as a child. It was the most spiritually formative thing I'd ever walked through. Not to mention, you know, the constant service and the sacrifice and the surrendering, the perseverance that motherhood, or fatherhood for that matter, requires of us. And so I just realize there has to be another path. There has to be, even when, you know, we can't fast because we're pregnant or breastfeeding and we can't go to the service day where we paint the houses of the people in town because we're busy changing diapers and doing laundry. And even when we can't serve on a committee at church because we've got little children that need us day and night, I'm confident that we are still on a spiritually formative path. And not even still, like that still sounds like plan B or, you know, we are like on an awesome, amazing path that God created and that He created to form our spirits as well as just get through the day. So that was a really long answer to that question.
That was a great answer. That was a great answer. And I loved how you pointed that out in the book, because I think that so often in our faith, exactly what you described happens. We're told if you're not having your quiet time and you're not praying this amount and you're not, you know, doing all these things the way you did before you had kids, or even more so because now you have them, you know, then you're just falling short. And that's so heartbreaking to me, because I hear moms who are like, well, I need to be reaching out and I need to be doing all these things and I feel like I can't, and I just feel like I'm constantly falling short. And I think we have to be able to have that change in mentality where we know that our spiritual walks are going to look different in this stage of our lives, and that that is okay, like to not have the guilt of that, to, like you talk about in your book, using that, banking on that. Like that's there's actually amazing opportunity here to be growing in our spiritual walks in totally different ways.
Absolutely. Yeah. And in the chapter where I talk about service and solitude, I say how I actually quote Richard Foster, I believe it is, where he talks about how we, our spirit kind of screams and cries when we have to serve in secret, because we love to be called up, you know, to the front to say, you know, look at Catherine, she served the kingdom of God in this important way. But when we're serving in a way that, and we know no one's going to see it, we're unhappy, like we want something. And I point out how, you know, I hear the moms around me constantly saying, I wish I could do something for God, but I'm just so busy serving my family. You know, I'm so busy always pouring myself out. And I think as mothers, the service that we do is so invisible that even we don't recognize it for what it is. Even we don't realize that we are pouring ourselves out and we are building up God's creation right in front of us.
And we have to remember that not only is it doing a work in our own lives, which is just so important in and of itself, but we're preparing these little people who are going to go out and do things someday. You know, all these great men and women in history had a mother behind them at some point. You know, we don't hear as much about them. I loved how you identified with Mary in the book and just seeing her in a different light. I think I thought about that too. Just Mary's story becomes more personal once you realize what she went through.
Absolutely.
And we can't even fathom, you know, to the degree that she did. But, you know, just having more to identify with her and how much this role means in our kids' lives.
Yes, because she probably had only the smallest inkling of what these things meant for the world, you know, if even that. But she was faithful in them, and the rest of us are all grateful, you know, like Jesus impacted the world more than anyone. And there's no way that she could have realized the size of the impact she was having as she just got up every day and took care of her responsibilities.
Yeah, absolutely. I remember a few years ago, I was reading the passage about Jesus multiplying the fishes and the loaves and how he took the fishes from a little boy. And I was thinking, you know, in, you know, fully steeped in motherhood, like, there was some mother who gave that little boy those fish.
Yes.
You know? And
absolutely.
She enabled that miracle to be performed, even though she probably wasn't even there. And it's those little things we kind of have to peel back the curtain on, I think, and remember the importance of this role. It's so easy to feel like it's menial.
Right. Right. Yeah. But the whole world is created by these little things that we have to do every day.
Yeah. And it's those everyday moments that, yes, our kids will remember the big memories, but who they remember, like who we were, those memories are fostered in those everyday menial moments that they're going to remember as a whole.
Yeah.
So will you talk a little bit more about how you frame out these spiritual disciplines in the book? Because I think those are just brilliant and such a cool way of thinking about all these smaller parts of our lives.
Okay. Well, I think there's two main ways that I do that. One is in each chapter, I focus on either a season of motherhood, like creation, nurture, sacrifice, perseverance, and just kind of tell stories of how we are doing these things as moms. But I think what you're probably referring to is at the end of every chapter, I give three spiritual practices, but these are things that we're already doing because, you know, moms are just pushed so thin and so exhausted. And I feel like we are always hearing, whether it's on, you know, mommy blogs or on the news or wherever, we're always hearing, you know, you could be a little bit better. You could do a little bit more, you know, try not to mess up your kids by making this mistake, do this instead.
Yeah.
And so, you know, like I said, I'm all for those classic spiritual disciplines, but I think we already know those. We've already been taught to read our Bible and to pray and to worship and to serve in our churches and that kind of thing. And so what I wanted to do is pull out these things that we are already doing in our daily lives and tasks so that when we don't have the time or the energy or the freedom in our schedule to pursue these other things, that we can still find God right here where we're at.
Yes.
So, for example, I talk about cooking, which is not something that I enjoy doing, but it's something that I have to do.
Yes.
And I just try to describe it as a spiritually formative task, a spiritually rich task, and give some tips on how I can use the act of cooking to point my mind back on God or point my mind back on service. Another one is breathing. You know, no matter how
that was one of my favorite ones.
Yeah. No matter how busy we are, we have to breathe. And that's actually for, you know, probably as long as there have been people seeking after God, that has been a way that some people have remembered to, you know, breathing in the life that God has given us and breathing mm-hmm. out, and then relying on Him for that split second that there will be another breath. And, mm-hmm. and then again, just remembering that the breath of life comes from Him. And we don't think about it, but this is a rhythm that we are always following. So yeah, at the end of every chapter, I have three of these things, like driving the car, mm-hmm. Waking up, going to sleep, walking, listening, things that we're always doing, no matter how busy we might be, and then just some practical ways to see them as a path, pathway to God.
Yeah, I really love how you even point out that they can be a spiritual practice. Like, we can see God in those moments, but then you help kind of give ideas of ways to do that, you know, in the breathing, you know, thinking about, like, actually taking notice of your breath, or noticing when, like, you have water is one, and how we're constantly being drenched with water, doing dishes and bathing our kids, and that it's actually, like, water is life-giving. It shows renewal. We have baptism in water, you know, like, you point out those things that it's all the things you know already, but when you connect them together in your book, it's like, oh yeah. I mean, they're so good reminders to pause and be in the moment. I feel like you mm-hmm. point that out a lot in your book, of just be here. Yeah. We're so distracted. Just be here. Be here thinking about your feet touching the earth as you're walking. Mm-hmm. Be here thinking about your breath. And it's so hard to do that in our day and age.
Yes, it is. Absolutely. There's so many things to distract us, and we're always trying to do so many things at once. And I assure you, I wrote this book for myself. I'm still practicing every one of these because I'm so prone to distraction.
Well, and I think that's a great thing about your book, is, like, I think of it, you know, long days of small things. The smallest things for me are definitely with my littles. Like, I am not naturally, like, a great littles mom.
I don't think I am either.
I love, like, when I would teach at a co-op when my youngest was littler, and for a couple years our homeschool co-op, and I was just like, do not give me the preschoolers. Like, whatever you do, put me in the high school. I will discuss literature. I will, you know, teach an acting class. I will do any of that, but don't put me with the preschoolers.
I cannot sit on the floor and play with blocks anymore.
I don't want to teach anyone to read. I don't like remedial math. Like, it's just, those are the hard things for me. And so when I saw your book, I was like, oh, because I still have a 2-year-old. I have an 11-year-old. Wow. A 2-year-old. And so it's like, oh, you know, I have to remember those things with her. But then even with my olders, there's still so many good practices. Like, these are things that I think, the title is deceptive. It's not just for, like, the little years. It's for all the way through, really. It's this whole motherhood experience is transformative from the time we become a mother until the day we die, I think.
Well, I'm glad you think so. I hope so. And I've even heard, you know, from dads who have appreciated it, mm-hmm. From grandmas and grandpas who enjoy kind of reframing how they spent so many years. And even some people who are taking care of their elderly parents said that it really ministered to them, because they're kind of back doing a lot of these kind of menial acts of service day and night. So,
That's a really good point. Yeah.
And that's where God is, you know, like, He made us to have bodies and our bodies to have needs. And sometimes we have the job of serving others in that way. And that's where God is. I'm sure of it.
Well, and when we look at elderly people, like, I think of these elderly women who've had families and, you know, grown up through that, they're usually very wise, you know, there is something transformative about it. I don't know. This is a really silly example, but do you know who Hoda Kotb is from the Today Show?
Oh, just a little bit.
I don't really watch the Today Show much, but I just caught a clip on YouTube, and she's like 52 and just adopted a baby for the first time.
Wow.
And it's completely changed her life. Like, she's a puddle of tears for one, but it's amazing. Like, she's going, it took me this long to do this, but now I get it. Now I see just how different life can be and how amazing, like, how to see the world through your child's eyes and, you know, all those kinds of things. It's like there really is something transformative about motherhood.
Absolutely, there is. Yes. It wears off all our edges, I think.
Yes, it can't help but do that.
Right, for better or for worse.
Yes. Okay, we are going to take a short break right here to hear a quick little word from our sponsor. This episode is brought to you by PlateJoy. So this is a really great and super helpful meal planning service that I want to tell you guys a little bit about. So, you know, we all want to eat better, but actually doing it, especially with a family, is a different story. You can spend hours searching online for recipes, trying to find meals that match your family's tastes and your health goals, and that don't take forever to make, and that won't leave you with a huge grocery bill at the end of the day. And that's why you need to try PlateJoy, the meal planner that makes healthy eating easy. PlateJoy designs custom meal plans to fit your unique health goals, taste preferences, and your busy schedule. Take PlateJoy's lifestyle questionnaire to choose from dozens of different options, including low-carb, Whole30, paleo, gluten-free, dairy-free, vegan, vegetarian, and many more. You can even add a weight loss or fitness goal, exclude any ingredient that your family doesn't like, or request freezer-friendly meals for super busy weeknights. PlateJoy uses 50 different data points to create meal plans that are a perfect match for you, with as many healthy, delicious recipes as you'd like each week. You'll also get a grocery list that cuts your shopping time in half and that keeps track of what you already have in your pantry to reduce your food waste. And it's super helpful for your budget as well. You can shop for yourself or in a lot of cities. In fact, 30 cities nationwide, you can get ingredients delivered same day right to you. So visit PlateJoy.com and you can get 10 days of meal plans for free and enter the code LOVELY in all capital letters to save $10 off a membership. So thank you to PlateJoy for sponsoring this episode. And now let's jump back in with the conversation. You say in the book, the role of motherhood generally isn't valued in our culture the way it should be. It's not that thing we're doing out in front of everyone. But would you tell the story that you tell in the book about the church nursery?
Oh, I would love to. Yes. I actually opened the book with this story, and I was visiting another church. We were visiting family for a holiday, and we had just gotten settled in our seats in a pretty large church. And then I had my baby was in a sling, and, you know, all of a sudden his head comes up and his face gets red and he starts rubbing his face against my chest. And, you know, we all know what's coming next.
Yes.
We know what that means. So I kind of try to soothe him back to sleep, but it's not working. And so I realize I have to flee. And like I said, it's a fairly big church. So I have to kind of get myself out of my aisle, and then I have to get myself out of my row, and then I have to get myself out of the section. And I'm, you know, getting ready to run because his face is getting redder and redder. And I finally get out of there and find the room that is for this purpose. And there's a sign on it that says breastfeeding mothers only. And I was just so, again, so discouraged. I feel like so many of my stories start with me being discouraged. I was thinking, I really wanted to be at this service. We were going to be hearing one of our family members speaking, and I didn't want to be the only one who could be, you know, bouncing the baby in this room. Like, I was hoping that I could maybe feed him and then dad could come and take a turn, or grandma could come and take a turn. But breastfeeding mothers only, it just said to me, like, you are stuck. You are just really stuck here for a long time. We're not going to share.
Yeah.
And but then I opened the door, and oh, I just had one of those experiences that you just can't even put into words. Everything about the room just had this visceral impact on me. It was dimly lit, and I've already shared that I love dimly lit rooms. It was beautifully decorated. The chairs were set up with everything that I needed. There was rocking chairs. There were firmer chairs. There was boppy pillows and nursing pillows. There was a pitcher of water with glasses right next to where I was going to sit. And there was even a little, you know, cup of grape juice and some pieces of bread for when it was time to take communion, all prepared. You know, it felt like it was prepared for me. It was prepared for, you know, someone like me. And then there was a little plaque that said, Mother, what you have given in love has become part of me. I thank God always for you. And yeah, that just, like, immediately my whole attitude changed. My day changed. I was expected to kind of be relegated to a closet by myself while I did the tasks of motherhood that I could so much more easily do at home. Instead, I was welcomed and seen. I write that I didn't even realize that I felt unseen until I experienced being seen. And I didn't recognize that I felt that where I put my energy was unvalued until it was so beautifully valued. Mm-hmm. And yeah, I'm grateful for that church, and I'm grateful for that experience and just the way it opened my eyes to kind of what we've come to expect, but also how beautiful what we are doing actually is.
Yeah. I loved the experience that you described just gives me chills. Like, oh, that's exactly what a mom with a young baby, like, that's what you're craving, even though you don't really realize it.
Absolutely.
You know, you don't even, I think, have the time to really think, like, that is what that fulfillment of this need would look like. But I love that you got to experience that. But there were other women who'd gone before who realized it. And who had put that in place. I'm just wondering, this is totally off the cuff, do you think there are other things that, especially as we grow out of these little years and we're looking towards the moms who are just having little ones, like, what are more things that we could do to show them that same care, like, show them that same worth?
Absolutely. I think that's really important to me. My youngest is 5 now, so I sleep through the night.
Yes.
You know, I have a little bit more margin. And I want to be on the lookout. And it's hard because I think we're so programmed to see other moms that we don't know super well as being competitors, as being kind of naysayers. So it's hard to, I think, step into another mom's situation and say, you know, I am for you. Let me help you. But I do look for ways to do that, because I can remember the specific moments where, like, an older mom would come up to me and say, how are you doing? No, how are you really doing? Mm-hmm. Are you eating? Are you sleeping?
Yeah.
You know, and ask me the right questions that said, like, I know what you're going through. I remember.
Yeah.
So I do think we need to be that for each other, and not just, you know, feeling threatened by each other. And we women, I think, have a hard time with that.
Yeah. Like you're saying, I think that it's both sides of the coin. Like, the older women need to step into that role and ask those right questions or give the help. But as younger moms need to be able to be receptive of it as well. I think that there was a big change for me from when I had my first child and I felt like, I know what I'm doing, or I have the way I'm going to do it, and I have my plans, and, you know, don't get in my way, and, you know,
everyone else just back off.
Yeah, just let me do this. Let me prove that I can do this. To
yeah,
by the fourth one, it was like, would somebody just help me over here? Like, I don't care if you do it my way. Just come do my dishes. Like, someone
take
please.
A baby. From
yes,
it. And I so need a shower.
Yes, exactly. And it was just I definitely see that transition in myself from baby one to baby four. It was like, yeah, no, I don't care anymore. I just need the help.
Your way will be fine.
Yeah, I think that's something that, and I think the help is also offered to me a lot less at baby number four, because I was standoffish at baby number one.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and so that's hard. Like, young moms, realize you may want the help later on, so
that's
take it
right.
now.
Take the gift.
Yeah.
That's good.
It's a hard
one.
Good
thought. Yeah, it is. It is. And, you know, it's easy to get burned, too. You know, you stand in line at Target and someone tells you to cherish every moment or has a comment about why your child is having a tantrum. So,
yeah,
there's a reason, I think, why we get edgy. But
yeah, definitely.
Hopefully we can learn to treat each other better.
And hopefully we can have people in our lives that I mean, I think it's easier to be receptive of someone you've formed a relationship with than the person in the Target line. You know, it's easy to just be like, okay, thank you, you know, or, oh my goodness, I'm so embarrassed that my children are doing this, you know. But hopefully the people that we know a little bit better, there can be more grace there.
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
I feel like I always want to like take video and make notes and remember what these days are really like. So that when my kids are grown and like I'm able to come in and help them, I can really remember.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And show them. And it is hard to remember.
Yeah.
It's surprisingly hard to remember.
Yeah. Even my 2-year-old, I think like, do I even remember what you being a baby was like? Like it just, it changes so quickly.
It does. It really does. My sister-in-law has her first baby and she will text me, you know, like, she's going through this common stage or she's having this common childhood disease. Like, what did you do? And I'll be like, oh, I'm sorry. I have no idea.
I was just sleeping.
Yeah. I just did my best. And we survived.
Yes.
You will too.
Yeah. You'll make it through on the other side, even though it doesn't feel like it.
Aww.
So now that your kids are a little bit older, I mean, your youngest is still young. But a little bit older, like you said, you're sleeping and that sort of thing.
Yeah.
And you mentioned that you're still doing a lot of these things that you talk about in your book. Are there other ways that you are caring for yourself or other spiritual practices that you've now been able to incorporate back into your life? Or what kind of does that look like now?
Yes, I think so. I'm still practicing these. And, you know, frequently through the book, I remind the reader and myself to just start small. Like, you know, with the breathing, for example, like, of course, we're not going to remember to rely on God for breath at every breath, you know, especially not when we're running, you know, chasing a toddler who's jumping into the toilet, you know, but just to remember what it is that I want. And I think that that's still the main thing for me is reminding myself through these daily tasks, whether it's washing the dishes or giving a bath or folding the laundry, that's what I want. That keeping my eyes on God is my main hope. Mm-hmm. It is interesting because I'm just now getting to the stage where I actually probably could have a consistent time of sitting down and reading the Bible, or maybe actually pray for 10 minutes without getting interrupted, or even better, you know, that when I get interrupted, I can use that interruption to teach my children, you know, how to pray, how to study the Bible. And so I am kind of entering a new time where I have to kind of, you know, that's how it always is. Our kids grow so fast, you're always having to renegotiate and what was working before isn't working now. So I think that's where I'm at right now is learning how to kind of add some of these practices back into my life in a way that invites my children to join in with me.
Yes.
So, yeah.
I love that. I think that's so important too, because they model what they see being modeled.
Absolutely. Yeah. And if we're pulling away to pray all the time, then they're not going to see it necessarily.
Exactly. Yeah. I love that. So I want to talk about this quote that I loved because I think this is another part of motherhood that a lot of women feel like they're suffering from. Okay, I'm just going to read it because you say it better than I am. It says, don't get lost. This is under the spiritual practice of cherish.
Okay.
And it says, don't get lost. In all the caring for others, it can be easy for us moms to lose ourselves. It can even become a badge of pride. I gave more than anyone. But we can only really love our children and our Creator if we have an identity from which to give. The fact is, we will get lost at times. There will be days, weeks, or years when the giving drains us dry. But as fragments of your former selves slough off, take note of the new self that emerges and the new ways you reflect the loving faithfulness of God in the lives of your children.
Mm.
I love that because I think it is so easy and so many moms get to that place where you're just like, I don't even remember who I am anymore.
Yeah.
And remembering that there are core parts of ourselves that are still there. It's like we talk about with the Myers-Briggs and all of that. We have a certain personality and everything.
Right.
But we do change. Like there are parts of us that go away and there are parts of us that become different and that's okay. That's a formation process in and of itself.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely.
I love how you pointed it out. Yeah.
I remember a specific moment where one of my children slept in 45-minute increments for his entire first year.
Oh,
and
my goodness.
By the time, and it was, you know, I tried everything, you know, literally. And he just needed that year to learn to consolidate his sleep, I guess. I did hear that message a lot, like, Catherine, don't lose yourself. And I remember thinking, well, I don't have a choice, you know,
yeah.
Like this is the task in front of me. And that was definitely a season where both physically, emotionally, spiritually, I got pretty lost. You know, I was pretty deep in the weeds of serving and giving without sleep. And I think those seasons are going to come, but they do also end. And I think just being able to continue to, like, it, you know, like you said, I said, to keep looking for that person that God is creating in the rubble of our former selves,
yeah.
And to know that that person is there, and that the one who began a good work in us is going to be faithful to complete it. And sometimes going through a transformation is actually how we get there. It doesn't,
yeah.
You know, like the Bible says, no discipline seems good at the time, you
yeah.
know, but we come, I think sometimes we emerge from these things and we find that he has recreated us.
Mm-hmm. I think it's good to let that happen, like not be resistant to it. It will almost be easier to get through if you just give in to, like, okay, this is just
right.
what this is right now, and it won't be forever.
Right.
And it's good to come out different on the other side.
And I think that's the perspective that we can have when we're on our third and fourth kid that we don't necessarily have
yeah.
with our first or second. You know,
yeah.
like we say, wow, this is how things are now. But then with perspective, we can say that is how things were for a season.
Yeah.
But then he or she grew up a little bit or I learned some new coping mechanisms. And now here we are in a totally different place. And I
yeah.
think having that perspective changes so much.
Yes, I totally agree. I mean, I think even with the little years where I'm at, I always know, like, okay, by fourth kid, I know going into it, okay, between 18 months and 2.5, that is the roughest year for me. Like, I have to know there are going to be dark days and to expect it, but then I have to turn around and look at my 11-year-old and be like, you came through this, my 8-year-old came through this, my 4-year-old came through this. Like, we will survive. And having those
yes.
older perspectives is helpful.
Yes. And
is.
And not every tiny mistake made in the first 2 years.
Yes.
Lasts.
Yes.
You know? Yeah.
Yeah. There is grace in this. And God fills in a lot of gaps where,
yes,
where
absolutely.
We just don't have enough of us. And I think that's a lot of what it's about is, I mean, like your book is talking about, it empties us of ourselves and we have to be filled with him.
Absolutely. Yeah, I think motherhood does what the spiritual disciplines are designed to produce, is bring us all the way to the end of our own strength, and then we have to keep on going. So
yes.
God comes in and meets us.
Yes. And that feels like a really good note to end on.
Okay.
So let's do some questions that I ask everyone. They're just for fun. So are you ready for those?
I'm ready.
All right.
Sounds like a game show.
I know. It kind of feels like one. Okay. Candles or essential oil diffuser?
You know, I wish I was an essential oil diffuser person, but I'm just not. So candles.
Okay.
I love going to people's houses that have essential oils, but candles for me.
There is a certain ambiance about candles that you're just not going to get with a diffuser. It is
That's
true.
That's true.
Okay. Cloth napkins or paper?
Oh, man. Once again, what I like is not what I pull
yes.
off. Paper napkins for me.
Okay. City or country?
I apparently I have like insecurities.
No, everyone does
I grew up in the country, and I dream, my husband and I actually spend significant portions of every day dreaming of living on a farm, but we live in Chicagoland. So
yeah.
Right now city, but I love the country.
Okay. Paper or digital?
Oh, paper.
Okay.
Definitely paper.
Shopping online or in the store?
Online.
Yes.
as often as possible.
Right? I know. They really need to
Yes.
make these. Well, you're near Chicago, so you probably have a lot more options, but like the grocery shopping stuff that's happening online, that needs to really take off,
It
in
really
my
does.
opinion.
Yeah. I can't grocery shop online without paying huge costs. So I go to the store, but man, I'd love that.
Can't wait to see that day. Okay, it's 4 o'clock or whatever time you're making dinner and you need a mental break. So, do you listen to a podcast or to music?
Podcast.
All right, can you tell us some of your favorite podcasts? And you don't have to list mine, which a lot of people say. I'm like, I'm just going to give you that out right now.
That's awesome. I have to admit, I am a pretty nerdy person. I really like a lot of NPR's podcasts.
Okay.
Yeah.
All righty. Chocolate, milk, or dark?
Dark. The darker, the better.
Right? I think that it should be a prerequisite to having children. Like, you have your baby, they hand you dark chocolate.
Oh, I like
You
that.
know? I just
I
think
like
they
that a
go
lot.
together. Yep.
They do.
Okay, sports or no sports?
Sports, but only if it's the Chicago Cubs.
All
Otherwise,
right.
no tolerance for sports at all.
Okay. Okay, live broadcasting on Periscope or Facebook. First of all, do you do it or would you rather broadcast or watch, I guess?
Ooh, I think I would rather watch.
Okay.
Broadcasting is really intimidating, but I did just put on my to-do list to do some live Facebook broadcasts the week of Mother's Day.
Well, there
So
you go. That would be
we'll see
good.
how I pull that off.
Yeah,
Yeah,
good
I'm
luck.
intimidated.
It's not that bad. Just come on and start yakking. Okay.
Okay.
What is your favorite movie?
My favorite movie. Oh, that's a good one. Princess Bride.
Oh, that's a good one.
I grew up in the 80s. What can I say?
You just can't go
It's a
wrong with the
classic.
Princess Bride.
You just can't.
Right?
I realize I'm dating myself, but I don't know that it gets any better than that.
Well, my kids even love that movie. You know, I think
Do they?
that's for all ages. The Princess Bride is just a classic.
I haven't shown it to my kids. I actually just probably said Princess Bride because it was on my mind. Just said to my husband yesterday, I wonder if my kids are old enough. Princess Bride. Yeah?
My older two boys,
All
they're
right.
totally into it and they think it's fun. And it's relatively clean. Like, I mean, it's
Is
pretty,
it? That's what I don't remember.
It's pretty clean. So it's a pretty fun one for them to
Okay.
watch. Yeah.
Well, good. Well, if you say so, I'll schedule a movie night.
Make a go of it.
Awesome.
Okay, if you had to put yourself on the crunchy spectrum where 0 is totally not crunchy and 10 is, singing Kumbaya by the fire with your legs unshaven and dreadlocks, where are you on the spectrum?
I'm going to say like a 6.5.
All right.
Yeah.
I like it.
I definitely don't have dreadlocks, but I do have a huge garden and I do a lot of canning. So
That
that gives me
definitely
some
gets you out there.
cred,
Definitely.
I
Absolutely. I like it. Well, great. Thank
think.
you
Yeah.
so much for joining me. It was a lot of fun.
Thanks for having me, Mackenzie. It was a lot of fun. You're a great host.
Oh, well, thank you. You are a great guest, and I hope to have you on again sometime.
Thank you. I'll look forward to it.
Okay, bye.
Bye.
That's it for this week's episode, ladies. I hope that you enjoyed that discussion with Katherine McNeil. In order to find all of the notes for this show, you can just hop over to boldturquoise.com/33, and we've got all the goods for you right there. Thank you to everyone who's been leaving reviews in iTunes. I so appreciate that. All you have to do is search for the podcast in iTunes. You can even do it from your phone. Click on the ratings and reviews button. You just have to leave one little sentence, even a couple of words, and it makes such a difference in getting the podcast out to other people and helping the iTunes to realize that people enjoy this podcast. So thank you so much to all of you who have been doing that. All right, ladies, I'm so excited for the next episode where I will have Heather Hopped on the show and we will be talking about her brand new book, Knights in Training. And until then, girls, go be bold and gracious.